Hello, welcome to the River Talk podcast, hosted by Zach Collier, Priscilla Macy, and me, Eric Weiseth. This week, our main topic, we're once again going to talk about inflatable kayaks because we've gotten some awesome emails that made some huge claims, and we're excited to have that debate.
No, sorry, my dog.
We also have Jacob Cruiser with us, so if we're going to talk about inflatable kayaks, why not have the expert? But first, news of the week real quick. Anybody have anything they want to bring up?
I think I'm all good on my end.
I'm good too. Eric, do you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, it just the only real thing is that, you know, as a permitted outfitter, the federal government shutting down is starting to be a bit of a bummer, going through the permitting process and trying to get ready for the season and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, as the lottery season comes to a close here shortly, that closure is going to start affecting a lot of people. Because I don't anticipate those lotteries happening until the government opens back up. So the federal government being closed is ultimately not a great thing for rafting and for boating. So hopefully that gets solved soon. That's about it.
Cool. I have an idea for a guest that I want to bring on who can help us understand what's going to happen. So maybe we can have that next week.
Yeah, that'd be very interesting.
Cool.
All right, so moving into the ducky discussion or high-performance inflatable kayak discussion. we have a few emails that we've been collecting over the past few weeks that followed our first couple ducky discussions. And so the first one is from John, who is an East Coast paddler, lived in Seattle, and he was commenting on one, appreciating the continuing conversation on duckies, but he also mentioned talking about some older models of IKs. So he mentioned that the Stiletto to him seemed like a knockoff Thrill Seeker. You can still buy Thrill Seekers. I went to the website. They do look very similar, and we can talk about, Jacob and our friend Joseph did a side-by-side comparison of the Thrill Seeker and the Stiletto on the farmland, so we can talk a little bit about that. His last comment was saying, your deep discussion of duckies and their finer points of design and possibilities seemed a little short-sighted about their place in whitewater history. The earliest complete descents of the Green Narrows and many Asheville steeps were in the awesome ducky called the Python, a design that was yet to be duplicated in its awesomeness. Also, the Thrill Seekers were used to pioneer all the steep creeks in West Virginia. And he mentioned that we should try to get Attila, awesome name, who builds Thrill Seekers on the show to talk about ducky design. So those were all really interesting points. I wasn't surprised that duckies had a large part of history in any part of the world. I think they have a large part of history in the Northwest as well. So I was glad to hear someone call us out on that. We got another email from Rob.
Wait, wait. Can we go back? Oh. I really want to have you guys respond to
the comment. Respond one at a time.
Yeah, because I love the comment about, well, I don't love it, but I want to hear the response to the knockoff Thrill Seeker comment.
Oh. Yeah.
Is a Stiletto a knockoff of a Thrill Seeker?
I feel like I don't know enough about the history to know. I mean, it seems like in the whitewater industry, every company is making a knockoff of another person's design. That's just kind of how progression seems to happen. I don't know if whoever made the Stiletto probably saw the Thrill Seeker accomplishing a lot of things and improved on the design, perhaps. But yeah, I don't have an informed opinion on that. I'd probably ask Jacob what his thoughts are on that specific comment since he knows a little more.
The Thrill Seeker definitely came first, and I do think that the Stiletto certainly took a lot from the Thrill Seeker in its design, but like Priscilla said, I think that they took what was a good boat and made it better.
So, and you guys ran them side by side. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so we went to the farmlands, and the Thrill Seeker looked, it performed pretty well. And I got to paddle it a little bit. All the rapids got run by both the Stiletto and the Thrill Seeker. The Thrill Seeker had two swims, and the Stiletto had none.
And to be fair, as a control mechanism in this experiment, both paddlers were class five, you know, five plus paddlers that had IK'd in the past and enjoy IK'ing. So yeah, it was a fair test.
Yeah, we were both using our own boats, and we did switch off. So we both got to paddle the other boat as well.
Okay.
And was the thrill seeker that you were in, did it have the foam floor, or they make an inflatable floor for that, don't they?
I believe this one was an inflatable floor, and I think that was one of the problems that – not problems, but one of the things that made it a little more tippy, possibly a little more responsive as well when you're trying to turn. But I think that kind of helped or led towards those swims, I believe.
Yeah, the only thrill seeker I've seen in person had a – I think it was a foam. I mean, essentially, it was a foam floor. And I was on the Grand with a guy who had one, and it seemed like a pretty impressive boat.
Watching foam paddle. I think foam floor is the way to go for sure.
Yeah.
I have some friends that are fanatical about the thrill seekers, and they all love the foam floors. And we've flown the foam floors all over the place to get them at different spots, and it's hard to do because they don't roll up. It's a huge box to get the boats to travel. They're harder to travel with by far, but they love them so much they're willing to fly the foam around.
Yeah, I think that says a lot. And something to that note is, you know, I started IKing in the Sevler, the original Sevler ones with OTT, and then we got to do the Sotar version of what they use now. And I really liked how easy it was to backpack them around and roll them up. And but then once I tried Jacob's IK and realized how much better it was like, yeah, it's definitely worth dealing with the foam floor to be able to feel more comfortable in weirder stuff and harder stuff.
So Jacob, your stiletto has a foam floor too?
Yes.
Okay, cool. What are the advantages? So you say the stiletto is an improvement over the thrill seeker. What are some of those improvements?
The biggest one I noticed was the stability. With the thrill seeker, you were just less stable. And so with the stiletto, that improved, and you just didn't have to worry about as many side currents kind of catching your edge or that sort of thing. You could also lean more, and so you could leverage your strokes better.
Is it a tube diameter thing, or like why is it more stable?
It's just a little wider.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Same length.
You know, hard kayaks, there's a conversation around sort of like initial and secondary stability, right? Like some boats can be more stable than other boats when they're flat, but then they're edgier and maybe less stable when they get up on edge and stuff like that. Do you feel like can you have that same conversation in inflatable kayaks?
Yeah, I think you probably could. I would bet that the stilettos, like you couldn't roll a stiletto reliably, but I bet you could roll a thrill seeker if you really wanted to. I've seen some people race stilettos in really impressive ways from almost upside down back up to upright. But I think there's a discussion to have there, but I think you'd kind of need to go and test it out. I have no definitive answer for that right now.
And for the audience that doesn't know about these boats, we'll try to post some photos of them. They're I would call them pointy. They're long, kind of pointy boat and very sleek. And the big difference, I think, right, is that a correct way to say what they look like?
Yeah.
And I think difference is you can't buy a stiletto anymore. There's a guy who made them. Maybe he makes five at a time at the most here in the Northwest. But they're really hard to buy where you can still buy thrill seekers. They're made in, I think, Maryland or West Virginia. They're kind of the handmade. So you can still get thrill seekers where it's really hard to get a stiletto. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you think that – because it seems like, you know, from the market that they're in and kind of the paddler they're looking for, the other boat that when I think of that shape comes to mind and sort of the same market of paddler is the Sotar IK.
Yeah. Like
they're you know, consumer – I don't even know what the name of it is, but their consumer IK, it's, you know, same thing, like diminishing tubes, relatively small, long, pointy. Mm-hmm. How do you think that compares in this conversation?
So I used to own one of those models, the newer Sotar looks basically like the stiletto. And I paddled it for a long time and then ultimately traded it for a stiletto to a guy who had one in Seattle. And the reason was it was a lot heavier. I think a lot of that had to do, you know, sotars are pretty much indestructible. And I think a cost of that is the weight for the material that they use, but also the inflatable floor adds a lot of weight because it's just a lot of material. So it was heavier to carry around. It was a lot less responsive than the stiletto. So it was generally kind of a hard boat for me to feel really comfortable on, even, you know, not that difficult of a run, because I just would have to put a ton of effort into catching eddies because it would carry weight farther. And it was harder to carry into the runs that we really want to use IKs for. So you're saying
a boat that it has an inflatable floor, mm-hmm. which essentially means it's got fabric, you know, like a top and bottom, you know, wrap around like tube of fabric.
Yeah.
But it's hollow in the middle because it's filled with air, that is light, that's heavier than the foam floored stiletto, which is a solid block of foam.
Yeah. So we weighed the foam, I'll let you speak.
I don't think we weighed the foam, but it weighs almost nothing.
Interesting.
So the foam is sealed. Another thing, like, so two comments to that. The foam that originally comes with the stiletto has like a light coating of, like, I don't know what you'd call it, like plastic sealant. So when it's in good condition, it doesn't actually absorb any water. So it's like really, really light. And then what we've done, which I think if there was ever a pursuit to remake like the stilettos, is we had someone shape mini cell foam to replace the old kind of dilapidated floor that was on the original stiletto. And that, I mean, that has got away like ounces. Like, I mean, we can hold it with one finger, like all three pieces of foam. We were playing around of just like balancing it on our finger. So that's how light it was.
Yeah. Huh.
But cool. The foam is covered in some sort of fabric, right? There's something, you're not just sitting on foam and foam isn't touching the water. There's a layer around it.
No,
you're sitting on the foam, but the foam doesn't touch the water. There is a layer of fabric below, but you personally would be sitting right on the foam.
And so the foam gets wet. Water comes on it and it gets wet, but it sheds the water somehow.
Yeah.
We have mini cell foam, which is what's used in hard gels for the pillars.
Cool. Yeah, I think I've only seen you guys paddle these boats before. They're pretty legendary. They're not just out there for the general public.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they were still made in the way that sotars and airs were, you probably would see a lot more of them.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, the people that we've had paddle them, even people that have never been in a boat before, just really like them and end up running whitewater that you would think that someone that's never boated would have no interest in doing.
And Jacob, we talked once, I think it was on the podcast, about Matt Cronin maybe is going to try to make this design. How's that going?
He has my old stiletto currently, but I think he's focusing on a couple other designs right now. So right. I think you'd have to chat with him.
Cool.
Yeah. So it feels like we're in a good transition to the next email. So we got an email from Rob, and Rob says that Rob also happens to be Jacob's father, who introduced Jacob to stiletto IKs and has a few of his own and lets lots of his friends use them. So some points from his email says, early in our discussion on one of the podcasts, someone said stilettos are good boats for really good paddlers. Which is true, but that beginners would struggle. Just because Jacob can do so many magic tricks with them doesn't mean that they aren't good all-around boats. I have many, many pictures of children and teenagers paddling our stilettos on the main and lower Salmon, the Grand Canyon, as well as lots of other 2 to 3+ rivers. Jacob and his friends, Nick and Alex, worked their way up to Orletta before they had their driver's licenses, with their favorite boat being the stiletto. And then he goes on to say that one of the main issues that he saw with the discussion is circling back to stability, saying that the early Lynx models had a foam floor, which had you sit pretty deep in it, which made it really stable. And he said that back in 1994, he paddled one on the truss after just 4 months and felt very comfortable. He said maybe too comfortable. Said it made him look way better than he was. But when air and other manufacturers settled on inflatable floors, the paddler's center of gravity rose and the tube shrank for a more high-performance look. But the boats became less stable in the process. The overall comment being high center of gravity and lack of width feels like you're sitting on a rope. And he said it's a problem especially for noticeably taller folks. And he said he understood why Matt Cronin hates paddling modern IKs since he's a very tall guy. So his final comment is about he first bought a stiletto in 1996, said he would have three if one of them hadn't been stolen by Jacob and I. And they have plenty of width in the middle, as Matt noted, and you're sitting fairly deep, so they have great stability. The continuous rocker foam floor and diminishing tubes make them fast and maneuverable, able to boof, surf, catch eddies on the fly, and punch big hydraulics. And said, including a successful hole run at Rapid 209 on the Grand. And then he finally says, where did that go? Oh, got cut off. So, yeah, he has a few comments in there about beginner kayakers that it was mentioned in one of the podcasts, I think, when we had Matt on, that stilettos wouldn't be good for new paddlers. They'd only be good for really good paddlers, which he doesn't believe. And I think Jacob and I are in that boat as well. And then what we kind of already discussed about the air floors contributing to a higher center of gravity, which is difficult to maintain stability in.
So that comment about stilettos not being good for beginners was probably my ignorant comment, I'm guessing. And, you know, we take a lot of people on inflatable kayak trips. Eric does too. And we have people that are absolute beginners. They know nothing. And we've had a variety of inflatable kayaks. And I just know the bigger the tubes, the more successful people are. That's a huge generalization that I find with absolute beginners. I think with people that are whitewater-ish people, even if they're only like class 2-3 boaters, I think you can start getting smaller tubes. Like those kind of beginners would do great in a stiletto. But I would guess if we put – and I've never paddled a stiletto, so I'm being ignorant here. I'm guessing if I put my commercial guests who have no experience on whitewater in a stiletto, they would do worse than like a high-side paddleac or maybe one of Eric's boats.
Yeah, so I think my comment to that would be it's interesting that the feedback was that you sit like too high, that the tubes are too small on like Tomcats and those boats. Because the reason I hate paddling those is that I feel like I sit way too deep, that the tubes are too big, that I can't get a proper paddle stroke because the tubes are up in my armpits. And I'm 6'2". And I'm 6'2". Like, yeah. I'm not a short person. And I can't stand paddling those boats because I feel like I'm sitting way too low to get proper control out of the boat or proper power. And I think to Zach's comment of, like, the bigger the tubes, the more successful people are, I would caveat that in the sense that the bigger the tubes, the lower your center of gravity. So the more likely you're just going to bounce through things and stay in the boat, the less likely you are that you're going to be able to get where you want to go.
Yeah, that's staying in the boat success.
This sitting lower reduces your ability to properly paddle the boat. Like you don't have as much power because your paddle strokes can't be as vertical because you sit too low in the boat to have a vertical stroke. It reduces your ability to be where you want to be on the river, ultimately.
I think
but it does help you stay in when you go slapping through things you don't want to be in.
Yeah, I think that's the generalization here is the bigger the tubes – I don't mind sitting low personally. But the bigger the tubes are, the lower you sit, the more you can just bounce down stuff, the more forgiving it is. And then as you make the tubes smaller and you sit higher, you maybe have more ability to make the move. If you're an absolute beginner – I want people that can just bounce down stuff and hopefully not fall out, right? You can send them down a rapid, they can do almost nothing, and they'll probably make it. Whereas if they're an absolute beginner and they have to make a move, they may not make the move and then flip. Does that make sense? So for my commercial guests or for somebody who has no experience, I want them in something that's bulletproof. Whereas we, because we know how to paddle, we probably would prefer something with smaller tubes – where we can change the outcome better, or if we're going to paddle stuff harder than class three, where you have to make a move, you need something more like a stiletto. And I think that's where the Cronin does really well, is because you can bounce stamp almost anything. You know, you can even do class four in that boat and not make the moves, and you're still going to be fine. For, I mean, not totally. That's a huge caveat here. You cannot be fine. But if you put an absolute beginner in it, let's say on like the middle white salmon, if you put them in a Cronin and something like a stiletto or a Tomcat, not that the stiletto and Tomcat are the same, but they're going to have more success in the Cronin because they can go down the middle of almost everything in the Cronin and not flip.
Okay. I have taken between 5 and 10 people down the middle white salmon for their first time in stilettos and no flips except on Husum. And we have had people have success their first time ever in an IK off of Husum Falls. But I do see what you're saying. We did have to give them instruction. So if you're going to set like a big group and you can't give them one-on-one instruction, maybe 10 people in an IK, you're going to want to put them in the thing that, yeah, they can just bounce down the middle. Whereas in the stiletto, you have to give them a little bit of instruction.
Yeah, the stiletto takes user ability. You have to have some sort of user ability to lean correctly or do some paddle strokes. Where something like a Cronin or something with bigger tubes, you can just kind of throw them down and they'll probably be fine. And not even, let's even go one step up. Let's go to Orletta. If you were to take somebody with no whitewater experience at all, they've never been on a river, they've never paddled, would you choose a stiletto or a Cronin?
It would depend on if I was able to give them instruction or not. If I had to drop them off at the put-in and say, all right, just float your way down to the takeout, I'd probably give them the Cronin. But if I was able to go with them, I would definitely want the stiletto since I could give them instruction and tell them what to do, because I think the stiletto would respond and they'd be able to kind of pick up on things and have more control. But if I couldn't do that, then I'd want to give them something that they could just inner tube their way down in the middle of the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in our design of our boats, we intentionally sit people a little higher so they have more power and performance so they can get where they want to go. But we also have guides and inflatable kayaks to pick them up when they fall out. Like, I'm more concerned with people having a great experience, feeling like they can power the boat, getting where they want to be. And I'm more okay with people falling out occasionally because we have people right there to pick them up.
Yeah.
So, like, that's part of our experience. And we'd rather have something that has more performance and more paddle ability than the bathtub, like, is the way I think of it.
And we're in a bathtub. I'm in a bathtub. So I want people to stay in the boat. So those of you that don't know, Eric's company, Orange Shapiro, they lead people in inflatable kayaks. That's what the main part of their business. We're doing rafting trips where some people get an inflatable kayak. And so with Orange Torpedo, there's a guide in a kayak showing them the way down and giving them pointers, and they're there to, like, another guide in an inflatable kayak pulling them in, where we typically have a guide in a raft who's like, hey, go right, watch out for this. And so they don't get as much hands-on instruction with the inflatable kayaks. And so for me,
ours is much more instructional.
Yeah, I want the highest level of success with the least amount of information. Where Eric, you're okay with even not complete success because it's a learning experience if there's not complete success, but you have a lot more instruction too.
Yeah. Our whole thing is the instruction piece. Like, you should come out of one of our trips, like, feeling like you know how to paddle a boat, you know, a lot more than you did when you went in anyway.
And I think sorry to interrupt, Jacob, I have a comment I want to hear what you have to think about. Is with instruction, I think a lot about telling people to lean into rocks or lean into holes. And you can tell them to do that a bunch at put in, but it's hard for them to actually do. That's what worries me too, is we're like, hey, if you ever hit a rock sideways, lean into it. And everybody leans away and flips.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that as well. That is a concern.
So basically making instruction stick is
yes. I feel like you have to have a little bit of, I guess all the difference between what I have done versus your guys' experience with taking people down the rivers is, I guess, I always know the people that I'm taking down before I go there. So there's some sort of rapport, whereas you guys are taking clients down. So maybe you've got a bigger hurdle to jump over. So I can see that happening there, where you can say until you're blue in the face what to do. But if you don't already have that previous rapport with someone, maybe they're going to do their own thing anyway.
So I want to make a big generalization, and then we can move on from this.
Zach loves generalizations.
Yeah, because I think we can move on, and maybe you guys can disagree. If you want to just, and Jacob, you put it well, inner tube down or river and just kind of bounce down, a bigger tube boat where you sit down in it that's more forgiving is going to help you not flip. But as you improve your skills, having a boat that's a little more performance-based, which means smaller tubes and something you can lean more and more interact with the river, is going to provide more long-term success because you can start learning how to make your way down the river. And there's rivers you start doing where you can't just bounce down. You need a boat like a Thrill Seeker or like Eric's boat that can make those maneuvers. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah, it does. That is the generalization, and I'd say that is a correct generalization. And then when you get into the boats that we're talking about for class 3-4 paddling, that's where I like the diminishing tubes where it's wide in the middle, so you have the stability there. But then since it goes to a point, you can interact with the current in a different way because of that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking back on, you know, all of my learning how to boat from the point that I didn't know how to do anything but inner tube was from the OTT Sevlor and the OTT Sotars. And I remember the comment that Eric made about the large tubes being really annoying. And I remember feeling like that with some of the Sevlors that had their tubes like really expanded. I don't know if you remember that, Eric, but you know, when you're the new guide, you get like the crappiest boat. And so I got that for a number of years and I could barely reach over the tubes, and that made it pretty hard to learn. And I remember when we got the Sotars, I was really excited that the tubes were small, so it made it easier to learn. So I think like now I like the larger, like the stiletto type design where the tubes are wider, but I wouldn't really call them high. And I think that was something to point out when we were talking, so people know what we're talking about. Like the stiletto tubes aren't like these high tubes, they're wide for stability. And so if you have a long enough paddle, which if you're like a hard shell kayaker, usually a hard shell kayak paddle is going to feel a little short. But if you have one that's made for an IK, like that would never really be an issue with any of these IKs that have the wider tubes. If that, Jacob, do you have any additional comments to that?
That sounds right to
me. Yeah. So
yeah, that's, I think one of my takes when I saw the stilettos was that they have it's a relatively round tube, but it's not sure. It's not a full, like, remind me, you guys know this better than I do. It's more oval shaped, isn't it? Where it's like, it's wider than it is tall.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I think we should probably measure it to make sure, but in my mind, that seems true, especially comparing it to like the Sevlor like extra big tubes. Those just seemed like giant round ball shaped things. So, but we should measure the diameter somehow and see if that's actually true.
Yeah, I don't think you can make oval tubes. I don't think the physics works out there.
I think you can if you if you're tapering the tail and you have a smaller piece.
I think you need something like, you need a drop stitch or something inside to keep, because it'll, when you put air in, it'll expand in every direction. So you need something inside to keep it from expanding in one direction.
You might be right. And there might be something. I'm not an engineer. You should ask Matt. There might be something to the regard that the foam floor, like the, how high, which isn't really high, like the number of inches that you're sitting above where the bottom of the tube connects to the floor helps diminish the height. So you're feeling like it's wider than it is tall.
Oh yeah.
Versus some of the inflatable floors that, you know, you're sitting at the point to where the tube connects to the floor, which adds additional height to the tube, where if you're sitting on a foam floor, it's diminishing the height and giving you all the benefits of a large tube.
Do the Thrill Seeker and the Stiletto have the same size tubes?
I think the Thrill Seeker tubes were smaller. Yeah.
Okay, so the Stiletto has bigger tubes and is wider.
In the middle, yes.
Okay. So, Jacob, I'm not sure if you were trying to egg me on earlier with your diminishing tube comment, but I'm going to bite. I think there's two completely different styles of boats. They're coming out more and more now. There's the stiletto style boat, and then the boat more like Matt Cronin has. And I designed a boat like that for Sotar like 8 or 10 years ago for the Chetco. That has a big bulbous bow and stern that's not diminishing tubes at all. And I think an interesting talk is the difference between those. And I'm going to make the case for not being diminishing. One, when you go into a big hole, you have volume in the front that just pops you up and out of it. And two, if you're doing a multi-day trip and you have gear in the bow and the stern, it doesn't sink the bow and the stern. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't do overnighters in the stiletto for that reason. Okay. I would, but I think you're right on that level, that if you're trying to pack weight in, you don't want the diminishing tubes. So long as you're not trying to get like class 5 performance out of it, then you're kind of at a loss when you're talking about IKs anyway.
Yeah.
So I think you're right on that end. I saw a photo of Matt Cronin with like a full cooler.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And you're not going to do that in a stiletto. So I think you're right on that front. Punching holes, that gets a little tricky. The stiletto is not incapable of it. Like my dad mentioned in his email there, there were people running the Grand Canyon and just gutting all the big waves and holes in the stiletto, and they were doing fine. But at the same time, I have paddled the OTT boat, which I would say is less. It doesn't have the same point, and it did go over hydraulics, like big waves, better than the stiletto did. So I agree with what you said.
I think one difference, too, is a stiletto is something you can boof and put them bow over a wave or over a steep hydraulic, where a big volume thing like the Cronin or the Sotar ATV will just go down into it and resurface really fast. Does that sound...
So wait, say that
again. So like a boat.
Jacob, say that again. You thought the OTT boat.
Oh, so say you're coming up onto a wave and it's like a breaking wave. When you hit that, the OTT boat would just lift and just like climb over it. And I would think of it as like four wheeling over it, except it would sort of just launch off the other side. Whereas a stiletto, you're going to go under that backwash a little more unless you physically lift your nose, whereas the OTT boat sort of does it for you.
Well, so I'll speak to that a little bit, because we were very – like that was – when we were doing our design on that boat, that was the thing that we were hunting for. Like that was – out of all the things we were trying to get, that was the one feature that was at the centerpiece of like – we want this boat to climb over things in a way that nothing else out here does.
You nailed it.
Part of that was the rocker, like having pretty significant front end to it. And then a big part of it was the material. We tried a bunch of different materials, and we went with a pretty lightweight material on those boats, so they have a little bit more flex.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same shape in a heavier material plowed through things more.
Mm-hmm.
That softer material tended to flex and climb over. And that was a big part of, I think, why we were able to get that feel.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced that it's the bigger tubes in the bow. As much as it is the rocker and the light material for us on that boat as to why we were able to get over.
Okay. They're fun boats, though. One of my top five favorite moments in any IK was one of the rapids on the Lower Klamath in that boat, and just hitting a wave, and I was just so high above the water looking down, like, how does this even happen?
You can get that way. Like, there's waves on the Lower Klamath and the salmon and stuff where you can get those boats entirely out of the water off waves. Yeah. It's super fun. Like, that's – yeah, I love that feature on that boat.
Yeah, I think the lightweight, like, definitely accomplishes that. And what you're saying, like, it's rigid enough of a material where you don't get the taco effect that the old Sevlars used to do, is you just get, like, you know, tacoed in some of the features and kind of miraculously pop up, where these, you can still have a lot of fun. They're light. And, like, if you're someone that, you know, a lot of our customers never paddle, don't have paddling strength, you can be not a super strong person. And because it's such a light boat, you can figure out how to turn it and not be totally exhausted at the end of the day, which makes it even more fun.
Eric, I don't think people in our audience have maybe seen your boat or know about it, because it's not a normally commercially available boat. Do you want to describe it really quick?
Well, I mean, it's you can hop on our website, orangetorpedo.com, and take a look at them. But it's, you know, it's, what, 10-1 in length. I can't remember the tube diameter, but essentially it has, more so than most of your IKs out there, it's got quite a bit of rocker front and back. And that boat we went with a lighter weight PVC to, again, give it a bit more flex. And I don't, you know, there's not a whole lot of other description to it that I can really think of great ways to explain why it's different. But for my time designing boats, one of the things that I, you know, want was that climb over the hole feature. And to me, it was really came down to having quite a bit of rocker. You know, and there's things you sacrifice when you have a decent amount of rocker in a boat, but the not plowing through holes in an IK, especially one like ours that didn't drain real fast, because we didn't have drain holes in the front half of the boat for performance reasons, like, was important to us to climb over things. And so we put quite a bit of rocker in the boat to get that piece of performance out of them.
Okay, I got to ask a really ignorant question. It's going to make me look dumb, but I'm going to do it anyway. What does it mean to climb over a hole? I don't think I even know what that means.
So when you drop into a hole, your boat is either going to just like go plowing through it and then you're going to resurface after, or your boat is going to, your bow is going to hit it and go up over it and not go plowing down through it. So the resurfacing after isn't really a thing you do, because you actually went up and over the hole instead of through it.
And
does
that make sense? Yeah, pour over holes? Or I'm picturing two holes.
It's obviously going to be less so in pour over holes, because in pour over hole, you're coming in vertical and, you know, like the boat would have to bend in half to go over it. But, you know, your shallower angled waves, holes, those kinds of things.
So at Houston, for example, what would your boat do? What would a boat like this do? Would it just go over the hole, or would it still go vertically down and into it?
Well, ideally you boofed and, you know, you're landing with the bow up and you're not even going underwater at all.
And the same thing with the stiletto too, right? You're going to boof with the stiletto.
I would just boof. Yeah.
Okay. And so I like plowing into holes. So
you're crazy.
Not on purpose, but I've never been able to boof an inflatable kayak. I used to assume.
You need to get in a stiletto.
Yeah. I've also never run Houston in an inflatable kayak, because it seems really scary to me.
We used to run in the Sevlars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, can you get it above? Can you get the front of the Sevlar over the hole, or are you just going to plug into it?
No, you'd land flat, not even go underwater. Oh, if you did it right.
See that? We should do a testing day out there so I can visualize this in person.
Definitely.
Agreed.
When I've seen inflatable kayaks there personally, they just go and they just gut it, and they either, you know, they maybe flip, they maybe don't. And that's why I like having volume in the front of an inflatable kayak, from my perspective, is if you're going to just gut it, the bow will pop up really quick once it guts it. I've never even thought about the ability to boof a ducky. Although, Jacob, I saw you do it when we were running, what was that waterfall?
That 10-foot drop
on the West Fork. Yeah, Punchbowl Falls. I saw you guys doing it there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually think one of the things I think is advantageous in an IK versus like a hard boat is the ability to climb over holes that in a hard boat, you like, I think it's easier to boof an IK and stay on top of things than it is a hard boat.
I'd Jacob? Agree with that. Yeah, totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, I think Bob's Falls in an inflatable is way less scary than it is in a hard boat.
Oh yeah. I was just watching some footage before this to kind of get some stuff in my head, but I've got video of a buddy running Bob's Falls, and we could contrast that to one of Priscilla's earlier hard shell lines over it, and I think that would paint that picture well.
I think, like, I mean, Eric especially knows, like, I really loved IKing and IKing stuff that, like, maybe I didn't really I probably shouldn't have been like running just because I was at that time in my life and I was pretty fearless. And I remember switching over to hard shell because I was like, oh, if I hard shell, I'll be able to run harder stuff more safely. And that was obviously not true. And learning to vote in a hard shell, you know, I'm still working on that. And like I could jump in an IK and feel, you know, be giggling down a run on a day where I feel like not that capable. So I think IKs are a great tool and in a lot of ways make getting down a river a lot more fun. And, you know, if you have a certain degree of control, depending on the level of difficulty of the run, it's just like it's a really great tool to see cool places.
I totally agree. I'm more and more loving IKs. It's 2019. What IK should people be looking at?
Oh, man.
I'm just hoping people realize that there's an IK to be made that that could improve on everything that's been made. And but to do that, you know, it's easier to say that than to do it. So I'm hoping something like a stiletto but takes that and improves even more on it would be fantastic.
And to your point, I think we were talking about the SOTAR inflatable kayaks and the air ones. I think the inflatable kayak, nobody's really innovated except for maybe Matt with, you know, in that direction. But these are raft companies who have an inflatable kayak, and there's nobody there who's – they're not dying to innovate in inflatable kayaks. Nobody's asking them to. So the only people doing it – like Thrill Seeker's done some cool stuff, and I bet they're doing micro improvements. But nobody's out there doing any improvements since maybe the 80s or 90s. I mean, these are the same boats, and there's a lot of room to improve. But given that nobody's done that, is there a recommendation for a good boat? Do you guys have a favorite boat that you can buy now?
I would caveat that, Zach, real quick.
Yeah.
In that there hasn't been, you know, and I think the conversation that we're having a conversation about thrill seekers and stilettos is like, you know, evidence of what you just said. When we're talking about the real high end, high performance, like class 4+5 style inflatable kayak. You know, if you think about, like, what's happened with pack rafts and how that sort of changed the paradigm on technically what are inflatable kayaks, there has been innovation, but just not at that part of the inflatable kayak market.
The innovation's in the material, though, not the design.
Like the shape is totally different, though. Think about the back raft, same thing. Like, that's a very different shape going for a very different purpose.
Yeah, I agree. You know,
especially the shorter ones. Like, I mean, so, granted, although it's about the same shape as their spud, which they have had for a while.
But. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the back. I don't think they put a lot of thought into that actual shape of that boat. They copied some boats they had earlier and then did what they could based on the manufacturing process. I don't think there's a ton of innovation in that design. I think there's the innovation that Air has done is in the fabric, and that's groundbreaking innovation. But I think the design of inflatable kayaks, I don't think anybody has done really much.
On the high performance class 5 end,
even on the class 3 end, I don't think there's anything on the any inflatable kayak. I mean, SOTAR certainly hasn't innovated. They have the same designs. Air's probably done a little bit. Moravia, I saw Canyons has some Moravia inflatable kayaks, so they have a brand new kayak out, I guess. But I don't think anybody's done anything on any level of inflatable kayaks for a while. But if I'm wrong, please let me know.
We designed ours from scratch, so I'm gonna personally disagree with you a little bit because I know
Eric, is yours publicly available?
No.
Okay. So I'm just
if somebody's done it,
I've done it too because I designed that boat for SOTAR, the ATV, and then I updated it for Wing recently. So I've been pushing for it because I like inflatable kayaks, but these are small things that are barely available.
Right? I haven't paddled Matt Cronin's boat. I'd like to get in one just to see it. And I said this when he was on, you know, whether or not that is the ultimate design, I don't know. I've got some IK comparing to get out and do. But the thing I really appreciate about it is at least it was something totally original.
Yeah.
You know, like here's somebody who came at it and said, we're not trying to make a hard shell kayak in an inflatable version. We're going to make something that's totally, we're just going to start from scratch off the drawing board. And I think whether that, you know, maybe it's the end all be all, maybe it's not, but it's hard to argue that he didn't push the design ideas in a way that nobody had in a long time.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think that's super cool, and not enough of that in the whitewater world. You can see that in the hard shell designs. Like, there's 29-foot kayak creek boats that look exactly the same, and they just keep coming out with the same kayak with a different logo on it. It's really cool to see something like Matt Cronin, where he's genuinely trying something totally new.
Yeah, I haven't replaced my creek boat in going on like 10 years because it's like the changes have been so minor, it's tough for me to justify it.
Yeah. Well, you own the original Waka, the Blistic?
I have that's what I paddle. Yeah. I still have a Mystic. Like,
yeah, and there you go.
I have a hard time finding something I like as much, so I'm just stuck.
So
with
everyone's
it.
Copying
Other
that
than it
boat.
Weighs like a billion pounds.
But that's like, why it doesn't crack.
It doesn't crack. It doesn't break. And I have yet to find anything I like as much overall. So why the hell would I change? Or at least I'm going to be like 60-year-old, though, paddling a boat from 30 years earlier, you know? Although we used to make fun of the guys in RPMs, and now it's like the RPMs are hip again. So I don't, you know, it all comes around, right?
Yep. History repeats itself. Something I wanted to just wrap up. I know John sent us a final email, and he said he found us a link that shows us what the Python looks like. So we'll post that on our website. Cool. I haven't looked at it yet because I just saw the email. But John said he wanted to make sure he didn't sound like he was coming off as a jerk and didn't want us to take up time on the podcast about IKs. And I just wanted to say, we're very happy to receive his emails, and we're very happy to clog our podcast with talking about IKs. So keep it up and don't feel bad at all. We're very happy to see and read your emails. And he also mentioned that he's working with a design program and playing around designs for prototype inflatables, and just want to say we're all definitely really interested in seeing what you come up with, John, and would love to be a part of that if you continue to do it. And, you know, at the low, you know, the lowest end of it, we'd love to just kind of see what designs you come up with. And maybe if you're interested, kind of what ideas we can throw at you and see what kind of crazy design we could come up with. And I know that doesn't necessarily result to production, but it's always fun to throw those ideas out, as you've heard in this podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for the email. It sparked some good discussion. Before we move on, because I feel like we're about to move on, can you guys answer my question? In 2019, if somebody came to you wanting to be an inflatable kayaker, what boat out there would you recommend that they can buy?
That they could buy.
Yeah.
Well, what are they trying to do with it?
Yeah.
Let's just say, for example, it's like somebody who's like into whitewater. There's a lot. I get this question a lot. That's what I'm asking. Somebody who is into whitewater, they're a class 2-3 rafters. They've done some inflatable kayaking, and they want to go step it up maybe a notch. So maybe from like class 3-4, or maybe from 4-4+. But just like a good all around inflatable kayak for a whitewater person.
Well, this boat definitely has its flaws, but just the air links, it works. Jeff Compton certainly runs some hard white water in it. So if you need something and you want to buy it brand new and get the warranty, you can do a lot with it, but it's going to have its flaws. If you genuinely wanted to run hard white water, I'd say just look on Craigslist and find a stiletto.
Are there any?
They pop up every once in a while. How I found the one that I have, which is essentially a new boat, this guy just keeps trading IKs, and he like boats them for a year and is like, no, that was fun, I want a new one. And he said that he saw another stiletto somewhere in the Portland area, but it just wasn't in as good of condition. So there's communities where, like, one, people are seeking them out, and two, like, people are trading them, and they're floating around.
Yeah, and people tend to collect them. Like my dad said, he had three of them. So if you find the right person, who knows, maybe you could get a deal from somebody.
It's sort of like the Illinois River book that you have a hard time finding. There's only a handful out there, and there's people are collecting them.
Yep. Yeah,
but if you're motivated and you keep looking, I'm sure you could get your hands on one.
Yeah.
Eric, what's your answer to the question? What inflatable kayak would you recommend?
I don't know. I mean, it's sort of the same thing. Like, it would depend on what you were doing. I think that the air is probably the best all around. Like, you'll be able to do everything you want in it, from, you know, the class 2 day trip to some, you know, multi-day stuff if you really want to, you know, some moderately harder stuff. It seems like what's on the market, that's, if you want something easy to find, like, that's a pretty safe way to go. You're not gonna run into your limitations, you know, until you get pretty far up the ladder with those boats.
Yeah. And I have a buddy with one of those, and he just did something interesting. He converted it to a foam floor, and that improved it. So you could always get up to your class 3 3+ with the foam floor, just how, or the air floor, just how it comes. And then if you decide you want to get into 4+5, you could consider putting a foam floor in there.
Yeah.
I would also add, just to throw in there, I just bought a tributary spud for my 8-year-old.
Well, that's a funny name.
You know, it's like a 6.5-foot long IK. It's basically the original. It's a very similar shape to the original Backraft, the short one. But it's narrow. It's going to be, it's awesome for kids. Like, that's kind of their market for it. But some of my guides paddled one at like high water on the salmon last year and said it was super, super fun for an adult to paddle, because it was really tiny.
It's like an IK playboat.
Pretty squirrely. Yeah, like an IK playboat. So I'm excited to kind of play around in that, not for, I think, it being like the right boat for real running, but I think it'll be a fun sort of toy for my kid to paddle around, because it'll be small and lightweight and small tubes and easier for him to paddle than like a big 10-foot boat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway.
Priscilla, do you want to answer my question really quick? I'm just curious what everybody thinks.
I'm pretty much similar to what Jacob said. You know, I personally haven't paddled the Air Lynx, I don't think, but I see what Jeff does in it, and I've asked him what he thinks of that boat, and he really likes it, and obviously is paddling much harder than class 3-4 in it, and is successful, but also can enjoy easier whitewater in it. I've tried a number of inflatables, although, you know, like I said, all the way from Sevlar, which I still think are super fun, and I've run some interesting stuff in the Sevlars and gotten away with it. But having the Stiletto and having tried that on easy and hard stuff, it's just a boat you can always jump into and feel good about running whatever you're about to run during that day, which I haven't found a boat that does that in a hard shell. So it's nice to have something in your quiver that does that. So I'd probably say the same thing, like look on Craigslist. If you know, obviously having a boat is better than having no boat. So get a Lynx or something like that so that you can paddle, but like really try to find a Stiletto on Craigslist.
So you can also still find thrill seekers. I mean, you can buy a new thrill seeker too.
Yeah. Maybe you replace, want to go more that direction. Yeah. I think that's a good comment. Just, I would say, like, having the high inflatable floor will limit you. And I have experienced that in the Sotar boat that I had, but it had, you know, pretty wide tubes, so it helped me. But I certainly felt off balance because I was sitting so high. So if you do find, like, a thrill seeker, maybe consider replacing the floor with a low-profile foam floor, and you might get the same stability that you would in a Stiletto and still have the maneuverability and all the advantages of boofing and snapping into eddies and making technical moves.
I mean, sounds like the cool thing about the thrill seeker right now is that you can get the foam floor. Like every other boat, you have to retrofit, where if you get the thrill seeker, they already have it.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not realize that.
So, well, cool. Thanks for answering my question, guys.
Zach, how would you answer it?
Same.
Air?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just designed a kayak for wing that's, you know, my, you know, big nose tube design. But it's just coming out now. And it's really intended for creaky stuff and for overnight. And it only weighs 25 pounds. And it's expensive because it's a wing. But I would agree with the guys. I think for the best inflatable kayak for the most people, Air is the, they're innovating the most, and they have the best overall designs.
Would you take that wing boat over Houston?
That's a good question. I don't know. I have to be there to know. I don't really like Houston that much. And so I'll kayak it at normal, like, you know, whatever it is, 2.2, whatever the lower flows are. I don't know if I'd take it through a stiletto over either. I would have to see how I felt that day. I'm pretty sure you plug the hole, and I don't want to plug a hole that big. You know, I would do it if there's cameras and people watching.
As long as you put it on Instagram.
Yeah, as long as I could get the shot. I don't know. That's a good question. I know in the Chetco, when we're, you know, we do our trips at like 400 or 500 CFS, I definitely want something like that wing boat because we're going over rocky, narrow drops a lot, like, you know, 3-4 foot drops, and it's really rocky. I want that big bow to kind of plow over things and to hit rocks and whatever. I wouldn't want a stiletto for something like that, or like the narrow tubes for that. But I think for Houston, I think I'd probably prefer the stiletto just in my brain right now. I'm also thinking about the truss. What would I rather take it on the truss? That's a big question too.
Yeah. I think we need to have an IK like festival. Like they have whatever, the Whitewater Fest at Houston. But we need to have a bunch of people with a bunch of different IKs and just rotate through and have a good day at Houston and maybe go up higher and do like the truss or something as well as a big group.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Like double drop, I think I'd want the wing boat I designed because you just want stability going over those drops. But like zigzags, I'd rather have a stiletto where I can move back and forth and make maneuvers and stuff and boof over little holes. So
Yeah, you don't want to be swamped in that one.
So if you're just to choose one, you know, most people can't afford to have multiple boats, or they don't have, you know, I have my overnight boat and my single day boat. That's where I think the Air just has the best overall. I agree with you guys, just the best overall design for most people because it's multiple uses.
Yeah, if you're not running class 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jeff's doing it, so it's possible.
Yeah. I think. In summary, I think we will try to make an effort on our website to upload some of the links and images that we got in the email and maybe do a quick, because I know that we didn't give appropriate acknowledgement of the place in Whitewater history that IKs have. So maybe we can come up with what John sent us about the first descents on the East Coast, and then maybe some of the first or early descents that were done on the West Coast, just for people to reference and kind of have a place where we can curate IK information at some point.
Cool. You guys want to go into Gear of the Week real quick?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay, I'll start. I'm going to say the Gear of the Week is the Air Backraft. After all this discussion. Jesus. I love that boat, even though I don't love the design. And the reason it's Gear of the Week is they just came out with the new fabric. And so it's 2 pounds heavier. The new 10-foot one is 12 pounds. And it's stronger, and it has little squares in it, so it doesn't – it's ripstop. That's what it's called. So it's ripstop. It's more durable. It just weighs 2 pounds more. And I think for most of us carrying kayaks in or traveling with them, 2 pounds is worth it for extra durability. So that's why it's my Gear of the Week. They just announced it, I guess, a couple days ago.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it looks good.
It's blue. I don't like the color. It's a weird – it's like navy blue. I really miss the fluorescent green, but I guess some people were offended by the fluorescent green.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. The green photographs really well. I love that boat.
Yeah.
Priscilla, what do you got for Gear of the Week?
Oh, man. I always forget what I've said before, I think, is the issue. I should start keep a running list. I'm going to be really controversial, and I think I've said it before, but 0-degree paddle.
What? Do you paddle with one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we had conversations about this, and I've written some long notes to Hammer Factor and talked to them in person about it. And I just think overall, in summary, in like one sentence, having the 0-degree really doesn't have anything to do with the common feather argument about it, like not being able to take vertical strokes or anything like that. I think it takes away a lot of the bad components that a feathered paddle can contribute to paddling, like making it more difficult to roll when you're learning and like just having to figure out where your paddle is sometimes. So I found that it's suited me better. It's given me more power and generally made me a better paddler, because I have to use certain skill sets that I almost didn't use with a feathered paddle, because it took care of it for me. So I'll send you the long letter I wrote at some point.
Can't wait.
So I just got into a thread on Facebook. It was like on the Utah Boaters page or something, about some guy was asking about oars, like what oars should I get, what length, all that kind of stuff.
Man, and there
was
never ending.
Yeah. Right. So since I have a platform of like the 10 people that listen to this, I'm just going to review what I said on there.
We're up to 20.
My gear of the week is good oars. Like, spend money on your oars. And there's reasons to buy wood oars, and there's reason to buy composite oars. Like, whether you want to get into the debate of, you know, Sawyer or Cataract, like there's a great debate there, whether you know, the back and forth. There's a ton of whether it's, you know, again, composite wood, mix of the two, whatever. Have that conversation. Don't buy Carlisle oars. Don't buy aluminum oars. They are heavy. They bend. Like, they're low performance. Out of all the equipment you have, it is the equipment when you're in a boat that you touch the most, that you interact with the most, that makes the biggest difference on what's going to happen to you. Spend the money and buy good ones. Buy good oars. That is my gear of the week.
That gear of the week is a podcast topic.
Yes.
Agreed.
We could do a whole podcast on that one. So yeah, your gear of the week is don't buy Carlisle oars, essentially. I'm writing notes for the
You said that, not me, but I'm not going to disagree with you.
You said it first. You did say that.
My gear of the week was buy good oars.
Yeah.
Okay.
One could interpret
positive framing. Buy good oars.
Okay, I'm just going to begin. I'm just going to say buy good oars on the website.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully you were going out boating. There's going to be snow and water and all sorts of stuff hitting the West Coast. I think there's a, you know, like blizzard warning or something for the Sierras. So hopefully that means there's some water further up the coast and people can go boating. Yeah. Listen to us on your way out with your friends. Listen to us on your way back after you've been boating and, you know, learn about what you did wrong, or email us and tell us why we're wrong. One of the two. Yeah, sounds good. See you next week.
All right, bye.